Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Very interesting stuff. You know, I figured that this was going to come around eventually and was going to happen, but it started. Charles Barkley on TNT yesterday threw a salvo, and you already know other people are going to line up to join it. Quote, "I'm rooting against the Nets. I hope they don't win the title." There's Charles Barkley. Do we have sound, Rob G? We do have sound. Listen to this, Aaron.
Well, I'm always going to root against Brooklyn. So I'm always root against Brooklyn.
Why?
I just don't like the way they put that team together. So I'm rooting against.
Wait. Time out. What don't you like about it?
Guy
traded there. Another guy signed there.
No, I'm never going to be a proponent of guys teaming up. Never going to be for it. So I'm rooting for anybody to beat Brooklyn.
Charles, stop it! You know what? What is the issue here? I get it. The LeBron ruined the NBA with the super teams and teaming up. I get what Charles is talking about. I don't like that either. But in this case, I'm going to push back. First of all, Durant and Kyrie, Aaron, were free agents. They didn't force a trade out of somewhere. They were free agents and can sign any way they want. Number two, When Harden did force his way out of Houston, it was a trade. The Nets gave up pieces. You want to go back and look at some of the players they gave up and draft picks to get James Harden? And then number three, with the when players are cut and they sign these deals, for Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge, those are also players having the right, once they've been released, from a team to do what they want. So the hate here, I don't get it. I really don't. I think that Brooklyn had the right to put together this team, especially the Kyrie and Durant. This wasn't Kyrie, Durant, and Harden getting together and saying, let's go do this. It was those two with a nice bench and a nice group of players. People liked that team before Harden even joined them. And then Harden in his situation. So, Aaron, Charles, I'm pushing back. You could dislike Brooklyn, but it can't be about the way this team is constructed.
So you just stole my entire thesis in that last sentence.
Really? Go ahead.
It's
tell
okay.
Me.
It's because great minds think alike. It's because I'm one of your favorite people, not just in radio, but on planet Earth. 6 billion people, and I think I'm in like the top three, top five. But no, that's exactly right. I'm rooting against Brooklyn. I just don't really like the guys. KD, you've won 2 titles, 2 finals MVPs. You're incredible. You're one of the most gifted scorers, if not the most gifted scorer that I've ever seen. And all you do is whine. All you do is argue with people on Twitter. I'm not saying it'll happen, but if Fox Sports Radio tweets out this quote, he'll probably get mad at me. Kyrie, I love Kyrie. He's one of the most gifted ball handlers, shot creators that I've ever seen. But, you know, he likes to take a lot of days off. I mean, Rob Parker, you work 365 days a year, sometimes multiple jobs like today. Kyrie doesn't want to play 2 games in a row. So to me, the idea that they are built any different than, say, the Lakers, where Anthony Davis forced a trade, and I should mention, by the way, LeBron basically quit on the team in 2019, was drinking wine on the sidelines. I'm the
Thank
only
you.
One that remembers
Hello.
That.
Hello. Is this on? I hear you.
I was on air, I think it was over the holidays, when he walked in with wine. And obviously, of course, the Clippers, no different. That was actually my wedding night, Kawhi and Paul George. It ruined my wedding. It didn't really, but it was the talk of the wedding for about an hour when Kawhi and Paul George decided to team up on late July 5th of 2019. So I only bring it up if you want to criticize the Nets because of KD's antics on social media, because Kyrie takes a lot of nights off. The James Harden stuff, whatever, he plays when he's healthy. But the idea that they are built any different than any of the other true contenders, it falls flat to me, Rob. It really does.
It does, and that's why Kenny Smith jumped in and was like, they were free agents. Well, are we against free agency? I'm not against free agency. I'm against people trying to stack the deck, and I'm talking about when LeBron went to Miami. I don't look at these two the same, Aaron. Do you? Is this the same?
Let me even jump in. LeBron in L.A., because like you said, KD, Kyrie, free agents. James Harden, when he demanded a trade, it was not to the Brooklyn Nets. Now, Anthony Davis, he gave out that list of four teams. If you remember, oh, yeah, no, I'll go to Boston. And then 2 days later, his dad says, no, there's no way he's playing in Boston.
Right.
Oh, I'll go to Milwaukee. No, LeBron completely sabotaged an entire season because he was upset. If you remember, in 2019, they thought the deal was done. The New Orleans Pelicans kept asking for more.
They wanted Kyle Kuzma. You remember? They wouldn't do it.
Absolutely. And so LeBron basically tanked an entire season. Anthony Davis tanked an entire season. Then finally, at the end of the year, they fired the GM. They brought in David Griffin. He said, we can't go on like this. So to me, the Nets are more, you know, in 2021, they're more organic than even, forget LeBron and the Heat, which you're 100% right about, Rob. They're even more organic than LeBron and the Lakers.
No, I'm 100% with you. And like the points you made on why you might hate Brooklyn or you don't want them to win and their quirky players and issues that they have, I buy all that. I do. So if Kyrie doesn't work for you because he's always taking off or you don't know what's going on or he seems to be flaking out on you, fine. Kevin Durant, I call him the Masote, the most sensitive of all time. I get it, right? He's the one on social media. Guy got a gazillion dollars, has a great life, and he's worried about Joe Blow in his mother's basement tweeting stuff about him, right? Got a burner phone, all that. I wouldn't even have time for a burner phone if I was Kevin Durant. I just wouldn't have time. I'd be doing so many other things, traveling the world, enjoying my millions, enjoying my life, right? That would be the most important thing. And if you don't like James Harden because he forced his way out of Houston and basically ruin that franchise. You see how bad it is. I get it. But it can't be because of the way that they've come together. And are you mad at Blake Griffin, who was released? The Pistons said, get lost. Here's your money. Here's a check. Get lost. Who are you mad at? You mad at Griffin for that?
No, not at all. Not at all. Let me ask you, I obviously anyone who's ever listened to The Odd Couple, which is the vast, vast, vast majority of this audience, knows where you stand on teaming up, LeBron in Miami, LeBron in L.A., all that stuff. Do you have a team that you, Rob, are actually rooting for this year, given that the obvious favorites are all kind of teams that came together in a non-traditional way?
Yeah, I don't root for teams, but I'm fascinated by this Nets thing and whether or not it's going to work. Aaron, we've seen teams come together, and normally they don't win the first year, right? Last year, everybody picked Kawhi and Paul George. Remember, loved the roster, loved the team, didn't happen. LeBron, when he went down to Miami, there's no way they should have lost to the Dallas Mavericks with just one star, Dirk Nowitzki, right? Absolutely. And Jason Terry and those guys, they beat them. You know, I'm fascinated. I've never seen so much offensive firepower. I don't believe in the whole defensive thing. Defense wins championships. Not in this NBA. Not when you can't touch anybody defensively. I get it. You can't give up layups at the rim and whatnot. But if these guys are knocking down threes and you're making twos, I don't know how you beat them. I've never seen this much firepower. And then to think that they're not going to get it done. We saw the streak they went on. What, they went 22 out of 25 without Durant?
Yes.
22 out of 25 in the NBA without Durant, without your best player? Unheard of.
Absolutely. And the other thing, too, that I would say is this season, and it kind of speaks to, again, the Charles Barkley, you know, if you don't like the Nets, whatever. I have become fascinated with James Harden from a positive perspective. I'm not going to lie. I was one of those people. I don't know if I've ever said it on The Odd Couple, but I know I've said it on my Saturday show. I thought he was a product of the system in Houston. I thought he was a Mike D'Antoni, lab creation. And for him to come to the Nets and basically play, like you said, at it. Well, you said at 22 out of 25, but at an MVP level. So yes. It's like, you know, how can you criticize a team? Yes, they came together sort of unconventionally, but James Harden, you could argue, out of all the current true superstars, him and I guess Westbrook, who I don't even know if he's relevant anymore on the Wizards, but Harden comes to play every night. And so to me, I get the comments, I get the frustration if you're one of the other 29 fan bases in the NBA, but I also look at it and say, this ain't the time to be mad. This ain't the time to be mad when Paul George demanded a trade a year after that famous party with Russell Westbrook. It ain't time to be mad when Anthony Davis basically tanked the entire New Orleans franchise. Now, it worked out all right for him because they got Zion. But let's not forget, there was 6-7 months there where they knew they weren't keeping AD and they didn't know what the future held. So
yep, it wasn't automatic that they were going to get Zion, right?
Of course not. Of course not. So I'm with you. I think I get the if you don't like the Nets because of how KD acts off the court, because of how Kyrie is a little bit aloof, I get that. I just don't think that this is Charles Barkley's listed reason is not a reason to be rooting against the Nets.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
There are so many different narratives that are popping up. Mac Jones moving up draft boards, Justin Fields potentially moving down draft boards. And there's just so many narratives going on. And so what I kind of want to do, there was a new piece of information that came out today that really leads to an older piece of information from earlier this week that I want your opinion on. And so, listen, it's draft season. You hear all sorts of crazy stuff. But there was a report out, a lengthy report from The Athletic earlier today, which interviewed a bunch of anonymous GMs and coaches and stuff like that. And so it said in this Athletic report, if you told me that Justin Fields was going to be better than Trevor Lawrence in 5 years, I would say, yes, that could happen. That was an anonymous GM told that to The Athletic. And so I thought that quote was kind of interesting in the context of what happened earlier this week with Trevor Lawrence. I know you and Chris touched on it briefly, but for the audience that hasn't fully heard the quotes, I'll read them really quick, Rob, and then I want your response. But Trevor Lawrence, of course, the presumptive number one pick since the beginning of time. No one has ever debated his place as the best player in this draft. He sat down for a pretty lengthy interview with Sports Illustrated, and he said a few different things where he said, it's hard to explain that because I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do and it's really important to me, but I don't have the huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture that. I don't want to. And I think that people mistake that for not being competitive. I think that's unhealthy to a certain extent. He's talking about that chip, just as always thinking that you've got to prove somebody wrong, you've got to do more, you've got to be better. That, on top of the fact that Trevor Lawrence's father said he's not an I want to win a Super Bowl at all cost quarterback. His high school coach says that he could walk away from football at any time. Now we have this anonymous GM saying that he believes in 5 years Justin Fields can be better. Take it whichever direction you want, Rob, but what I'm really more curious about, not just the Justin Fields element of this, but are Trevor Lawrence's comments about being worried or not having a major chip on your shoulder, his former coach says he could walk away from football. If you were Urban Meyer, if you were the Jags brass, if you were a Jags fan, would that concern you at all?
It wouldn't. I think this is where one of the issues I have with football. It's this mob mentality. Everybody has to tell you tell you how much they can't live without football and isn't football great and I live and I sleep and I drink it every day and it's the only thing that matters to me. Trevor Lawrence could have told them what they wanted but still be the same guy.
Yes.
And you would tell me that you would feel different about him because he told you what you wanted to hear? None of that makes sense to me. Let the guy be real and be honest. That doesn't mean he's not a competitor. There's a lot of guys who, live, sleep, and drink football, and they can't play. I don't care how good they are, how much they love the game. They can't play. So this whole notion doesn't make any sense. I've always heard this. I laughed at this. All the coaches. Oh, he never goes home to his family. He sleeps on the couch. And he watches film all day until he falls asleep at night. And guess what? That coach hasn't won a Super Bowl. That coach hasn't won a division. Does that mean he's better than another guy because that guy goes home for dinner with his family after he does his work? It's a fraud. It's the phony fraud football that people put out there, that if you're not all the way in, you can't excel or you can't achieve. You got to sell them wolf tickets. You got to lie to them to make them feel good. He could have easily, Trevor Lawrence, gone out and given them what they want. Man, if we lose a game, I know I only lost two games in my college career, but when we lost, I couldn't sleep for the next 4 days. And then you would salivate about them? Is that what you want them to do? To lie to you?
Rob, I'm so glad that you said this, and we brought up this topic. I had no idea where you were going, but I am 100% on board with you. First of all, what I would say, this is a real problem for people in both football, basketball. I don't know if about baseball. Maybe you know a little bit about the draft process. These kids have been so well coached to give the cliche answers that they don't know the truth when these kids are saying it. But to me, two things stand out when I hear that Trevor Lawrence, he doesn't have a killer instinct or a passionate for football. First of all, one, to have a chip on your shoulder, somebody had to doubt you at some point.
Right.
No one has ever doubted him. He was the number one player in his high school class. He comes to Clemson. 4 games in, he beats out a senior for the starting job. He never gives it up. As you said, 34-2 as a starter. How about this? His two losses. One was to some guy named Joe Burrow, who I think was pretty good.
And the other one was in the championship game.
The other one was this year to Justin Fields, right. And his defense gave up 49 points. Is he supposed to score 51? And so what it goes back to me is a few things. Is one, if you just watch the games, the guy wears his heart on his sleeve. I was lucky enough 2 years ago to be on watching during the playoff on air on Fox Sports Radio with Arnie Spanier on a Saturday night when they played Ohio State. I was on air this year with you when they played Ohio State. And this guy plays so hard, puts his head down, picks up the extra yard, not afraid of contact. Don't be fooled by that head of hair. It's nonsense. What I would also say too, Rob, and I think this is an important part, not just for Trevor Lawrence, but for Justin Fields too. Back in July and August, when we weren't sure we were going to have a football season, who were the two most prominent voices saying, we want to play? Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. And I sit there and say, Trevor Lawrence, I just said it. He was going to be the number one pick, whether he played a down at Clemson this year or not. He could have easily sat and said, I'm not comfortable stepping in that huddle. I don't know how safe it is. I'm just going to get off the radar and train for a year. Instead, he and Justin Fields fought for football harder than anyone. I don't understand this narrative, like you said, that if you're not, I don't know. I just don't understand this narrative that if you've actually watched the kid play for one half of one game of football, you know how hard he plays and how much he loves the sport.
Why isn't that more important than whether or not he's selling you on this idea that he can't live or breathe without football? I really don't understand it. Who is that to pacify? We had Eric Mangini on Dan Patrick this morning, and me and him got into it over it because he said, it would bother me if I was a coach. And I was like, really? He goes, well, I don't want the guy to lie to me. That's what you want. You want to hear what you want to hear, right? Or do you want the guy to be honest? I just don't understand. What do you want? And it doesn't mean that, you're not going to draft him because he says he doesn't. Go draft an also-ran who lives in and dies with football, right? Is that the guy you want who can't really play but he loves football to death? Yeah.
Well,
it doesn't make sense.
It's just dumb because it would bother me if he said that. Well, okay, it's one thing to say one thing. And by the way, you can have one demeanor on the court or on the field and another demeanor off the court. Tom Brady, when I see him on Instagram, he's kissing his kids and he's kissing his wife. The second he steps between those lines, he's ready to rip somebody's heart out. And I'm telling you, Rob, that 2 years ago when they played Ohio State, Trevor Lawrence, he had over 100 yards rushing. That was a game, if you remember, it was a very controversial game because there was a controversial targeting call where he got popped square in the jaw by an Ohio State defensive back. Was it targeting? Was it not? He got hit. He got crushed in that game. And you know Ohio State has defensive stars, NFL stars all over that defense. And so it'd be one thing if he was this 6'6" kid, long head of hair, whatever. And he looked the part and all that stuff. But, you know, Clemson went 7-5 this year. And he kind of said, well, I like the physical tools, but what's missing there? The problem was he lost two games his entire career. It's one thing to bother you with the quote, but it's another thing to turn on the games and actually see how he plays. And like I said, I know I'm repeating myself, he puts his heart on his sleeve. And if you can't see that watching him, frankly, I hate to say it, you probably shouldn't be in football evaluating players, because you can turn on the tape and see how much this kid loves the sport.
No doubt. I think that whole mentality, that's that pack mentality, and this whole notion that, you know, you got to be, it's the same thing. We saw this now with the NFL players don't want to come in, Aaron, for the voluntary, right, workouts.
Sure.
They don't want to come in, right? And then they go, if it's voluntary, but if you don't come in, dude, you could lose your spot, your roster spot. We're going to get the guys who come in. Those are the guys we're going to look at. Well, it's called voluntary, right? Am I missing a mandatory meeting or voluntary? So you know, if you don't do that, then they frown upon you. This is the same thing. He didn't say what they wanted to hear, which was, hey, man, this is like the only thing I ever thought about my whole life. I don't know what I would do without football. Oh, my God, this is like unreal. All I do is watch film 24 hours a day. I want to be Tom Brady. I want to cheat my way to I want to win 7 Super Bowls. I'm sorry, that was a Freudian slip. But you get my point. If you're not saying that, they think something's wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with Trevor Lawrence. Bravo. Bravo, Trevor Lawrence, for being real. He's the same person. That's why his high school coach said he could walk away from this tomorrow. That's why his father said, it's not the end of the world. Football's not the end of the world to him. Because, that he doesn't need a Super Bowl to feel good about himself. Because this is it. Because this is the real Trevor Lawrence. Those people know. That's why they said it. They know he's well-rounded. They know he's grounded. They know that football's a part of his life. It's not all of his life.
Well, and that, two quick thoughts on that, and then we'll take some calls and all that stuff. But real quick, one, first of all I hear is all these athletes, I want to be more than an athlete. You know, LeBron with his off the court, you know, both his business ventures, his political ventures, whatever. Kyrie, we talked about him in hour one. So what Trevor Lawrence is basically saying is, I want to be known as more than an athlete. I just got married this weekend at 21. I love my wife. I love my family. Whatever interests he has outside of football, that's okay. But two, and this is what I was thinking about, Rob, when you were talking about killer mentality and all that stuff. You know, this Patrick Mahomes kid, I think, is pretty good at this sport of football. Does he strike you as killer, foam falling from the mouth? Because he doesn't really strike me as that. And I think he's doing pretty well for himself.
I think he's doing great, and I'm with you. I just think this is a, you know, this is that, to the rah-rah, you got to be all the way in and whatnot. It doesn't mean that you can't work and do your job and not be, you know, consumed by it or obsessed by it. I think that's unhealthy. He doesn't want to be stressed out over you know, stuff that he has something he has no control over. Worry about the stuff. If this guy's not prepared or doesn't do his work, that's something else. But just because he didn't tell you that he loves football more than life itself, I'm not buying it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Aaron, let's also switch over to this in the NBA. All the injuries. Donovan Mitchell, right, got hurt today for Utah. had to come out of the game. You know, AD is finally coming back for the Lakers. LeBron James is out. James Harden is out. I mean, we've had a rash of injuries in the NBA this season. And some people are pointing and saying they only got 72 days off, right, in the offseason as far as when the championship was over and they got back to work. And the reason they rushed back is because they wanted the game to be played on Christmas Day because it was a cash windfall for the league. You know when they play all those games on Christmas Day. And, people are blaming the NBA. Some people are blaming the union. The union signed off on the quick return. They didn't give the players enough time to get their bodies back in shape or enough rest for another season. You know this, Aaron, because you cover basketball. There's just so many jumping in that body and those legs, right? At some point, it's all over. There's just so much. And other people are saying this would have happened if they got time. You can't stop injuries. Injuries are a part of sports. You know, to blame it on the coming back early is ridiculous. People get hurt every year. Has nothing to do with that. Where are you? Where does the blame? Let's play the blame game. Are we blaming the NBA for the rash of injuries this year? The union for agreeing for players to come back quicker than normal? Or is this just Mother Nature and the game that is basketball where injuries occur?
I'm going to cop out and say it's a little bit of everything, but, you know, if I'm going to
play... We don't cop out on the Odd Couple.
Right.
I want you to pick one of the three that you think is more likely. That's all. It's not math.
Okay.
2 and 2 is 4, no matter who's doing the math. I want your opinion on one of these three.
Well, I am going to eliminate Mother Nature right off the top because according to the article in which this article was, this article came together, a league spokesman indicated that through 50 game, the number of injuries is lower than last season. So, could it be more prominent players? I don't know. But what I will say, if I'm blaming anybody, I will blame the players' union and the players because they didn't want to give up any money. You know, they were talking about leaving the bubble and this and that, and then they realized they had to give up $1 billion in the bubble. Now, this year, you could start later. They wanted to start later, but then it came down to, well, if we don't start on Christmas Day, you're not getting your full paycheck. And so to me, listen, with life, there are benefits and drawbacks to every decision you make. And I remember this time last year when there were no sports, we all said, every guy and girl that hosts on this station, on this radio network said, point blank, when sports come back, they're going to look different. Baseball season was shorter. Football season had no fans. NBA season was in a bubble. And it had a trickle-down effect to this year. And so to me, when you know it's going to be different, and you know that if you don't play the number of games that you need to play, you're not going to get your paycheck, and you agree to do it, it falls on the players. I wish nobody ever got hurt, but they weren't willing to sacrifice their money. And so because of it, I would say the blame is on them more than anything.
Spot on. It is the union. You can't cry after the fact, just like they were crying about they didn't want to play in the All-Star game, right? They didn't want to play in the All-Star game. They signed off on it, an All-Star game. It doesn't make any sense. Aaron, do you think the baseball union would agree to something and then the membership would bellyache? No, because if the membership was going to bellyache, the union would have said no to it. We don't have a universal DH this year, do we? The union said no. There's no uprising by American League players saying, oh, this ain't fair. We don't have the DH. The union said no way, no how to the universal DH. And guess what? No universal DH this year. That is the point. The union. Hello? You signed off on this. How can players complain about stuff after the fact? LeBron acted like he didn't even know that they agreed to the All-Star game. And they agreed to come back quicker than in any other season before. We get it. COVID, we get the money that was lost in 2020. Right? They lost over $1 billion. You're trying to recoup some of the money. I get all that. But you can't be mad at the NBA once you sign off on coming back.
But how are you going to recoup the money if you're not on the court? You know, like yes, they're trying to recoup the money. I get it. It makes sense. I understand, you know, the owner's perspective and the player's perspective. Everybody lost money. Everybody wants to make money. Players are used to making a certain amount of money. But once you agree to come back, there you can't use that as an excuse. And I'll take it a step further, Rob. You said there were, quote unquote, and I'm not arguing with you, but the concept that there was, quote unquote, only 72 days between the regular end of the last season and the beginning of this season. For two teams. There's 30 teams in the league. And how about this, Rob? What was it? 8 or 10 of them didn't even go to the bubble. They hadn't even played in a year. So, you know, listen, Donovan Mitchell's a perfect example. I'm glad he's okay. It does not appear as though his injury is major. But his season ended, you know, August. They lost in the first round of the playoffs last year. They lost to the Nuggets. You know, that was probably the beginning to the middle of August. And that was after having 4 months off prior to that. And so, one, I'm glad Donovan Mitchell is okay. You know, I feel bad for Jamal Murray, who got hurt earlier this week. And I don't want anybody to get hurt ever. But at some point, there is a risk-reward to everything that you do in life. These guys wanted the money. I don't blame them. We all got bills to pay. We all have a lifestyle that we want to live. But when you make that decision, you have to deal with the consequences that come with it.
No, there's no doubt about it, and your points are well taken. But it just seems like maybe it's bigger name stars who have been hurt. I mean, I'm sure the number's accurate that they say it's been less injuries, but it certainly seems as if injuries have taken a toll on the NBA. Would you agree with that, like bigger name players?
Yeah, I mean, I think
it feels like that. I'm just saying, it feels like that.
Yeah, I would just say real quick. I think part of it is LeBron. Like, LeBron's never hurt, so when he gets hurt, you feel like, okay, something's going on here. What's wrong? Did he come back too soon? Is he trying to play too many games? Stuff like that. But AD, he's always banged up. KD, he's missed. You know, he missed all of last year. It's not surprising that he's missed games. So to me, I think LeBron is the big one that's surprising and makes it feel bigger than maybe it otherwise would.
Right.